The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business, where we have a look at the SME sector here in Singapore. After all, it powers half our economy and hires about 70% of our workforce. Now, aiming to close the gap between the physical and the virtual world might seem slightly far-fetched, but with human operators behind the wheel, Michael Sera of Cognicept Systems believes robotics can do what couldn't be done before. He's the founder of Cognicept, a service that provides robotics-based human-in-the-loop error handling systems with a vision to bridge the limitations of AI. There are limitations to AI? We'll have to ask Michael to explain that. And how do we put the human side into AI? Michael, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the limitations of AI, the Achilles heel, I suppose, as the saying would go. Give us an example.
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the big problems that we face with AI systems is unpredictability. These unpredictable situations present a lot of difficulties. Many AI systems function probabilistically. So essentially, it's always guessing. And these guesses are going to have certain levels of confidence. So if a system is, let's say, below 85% confident, it's going to behave differently than if it's above that threshold. So when you enter these sort of unpredictable scenarios, unstructured applications, the AI will tend to perform less reliably.
But that's not something we can wrap our heads around. We always thought that with robotics and artificial intelligence, the unknown element is taken away because they're able to compute so quickly and come up with all the different computations or permutations, if you will.
Yeah, and I think speed is one of the advantages that it presents. But there are definitely, I would say, problems whenever you encounter these edge cases, as they're called, situations that were not programmed for, were not considered.
Or have never come up before?
Or never come up or didn't come up often enough for the sort of training set that the AI has been developed with. To incorporate those unpredictable scenarios. So, you know, these unstructured sort of applications present a lot of difficulties, and this is where you're going to see higher failure rates.
It sounds like the fears of warranted. People have always been afraid of, they don't understand probably AI, but they've always been afraid that, you know what, it's going to take over the world, it's going to get rid of jobs, and now it's going to fail in a way that we thought couldn't.
Well, and I think that's something that people need to consider significantly. You know, definitely when we deploy these systems, we will check to make sure that they're reliable before they before they land. So, you know, if you go into these real world examples of it being deployed, the sort of negative outcomes are going to be considered before you start seeing large scale deployments of an AI system. So, you know, one of the things you might see is image classification, right? Where you ask Google to find pictures of chihuahuas for you, right?
Okay.
And so the failure rate, you know, the failure case for that is not so bad, right? If it gives you something besides a chihuahua, it's not that big of
no
a problem,
one dies.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, nobody gets hurt. Whereas self-driving cars are a different scenario, of
yeah,
course.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So that would be a real-world example of how AI limitations can come up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's kind of amusing if you look at these image classification examples. There's actually a problem called the chihuahua or muffin problem. Like, this is what researchers call it. And so if you look online, you can see these examples where someone has asked an AI system to find chihuahua pictures, and it brings back blueberry muffins that kind of look like chihuahuas.
Oh, no. So yeah. The facial recognition of the AI, not so strong, perhaps.
Right, exactly. And, you know, people are using these systems because the negative outcome is not that high. You just skip the muffin picture.
So
right?
No one's trying to fix it, so to speak?
Well, of course, people are trying to fix it, but it's a difficult problem because sometimes a muffin really looks like a chihuahua.
Okay. You know? All right, let's talk about how Cognicept comes into play. It is an online platform, it is an app, it is what, a system?
So essentially what we have is something called supervised autonomy. So our system allows a confused robot to dial out to a human operator when it gets confused.
It feels
confused.
A bit oxymoronic though, supervised, automatic,
it is, it is.
Right?
But at the same time, I mean, what we're essentially doing is amplifying that human effort by only pulling the human in when they're needed. So, you know, the robot's going to function normally 99% of the time. And for that 1% of time that it's confused, it can dial out to that human operator who can then see what the robot sees, control it in an intuitive way, and then get it back to normal operation.
Okay. So what was the impetus for this?
Yeah. So
the
I was
fact
actually
that you were Googling chihuahuas?
No. it was a bit more, you know, closer to home. So I was deploying robotics into a warehouse, an e-commerce warehouse. And since they were growing so fast, they had a lot of unstructured processes, a lot of unpredictability inside that warehouse environment. So we were seeing these really high failure rates for the robotic systems we were trying to deploy. And of course, you can imagine every time this robot fails, it interrupts the operation of the warehouse at large. So I thought it would be really great if every time it encountered one of these scenarios where, say, it's lost or it can't find its way, it could dial out to that human operator and get a little help so it can get back to normal operation. And that was where that came from.
Sadly, Michael, as a layperson, it's starting to sound like, what's the point of AI altogether? We might as well just keep humans there in the warehouse, in the example you cited, and have mistakes be minimum.
Well, I mean, it's a good point, but I think one thing to keep in mind is that the robots don't fail that often. So, you know, with our current customer, we might get one failure every 3 days for a single robot, and then it takes us a few minutes to fix it. So, you know, a single person can manage 900 or, you know, 1,200 robots.
So it's still an advantage to deploy robotics.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk to us about how Cognicept works. Telepresence technology is something that's part of it. You need to explain that for us.
Yeah, so it's sort of an extension of telepresence, which is not a new idea. There have been a lot of telepresence systems that, you know, have already been popularized. You've probably heard of these drones that people fly from a remote location for the military. There's also applications in subsea oil and gas where they go into the deep ocean with a robot and they can do things on the sea floor. So this is essentially allowing a human being to remote control something far away, maybe in an unsafe environment or in a place that maybe the labor costs are very high, and then you want to have somebody that's in a lower cost market control that item. So telepresence essentially just allows a person to take control of something in a remote environment and sort of see through its eyes.
As and when it's needed, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
So at this point, what would it look like? We've got the poor bloke, though, unfortunately, on call 24/7. Every 3 days only, he has to wake up when a robot encounters a problem. That seems still a rather waste of time.
Well, if you get enough robots to keep a person busy, you know, they're not going to all fail at the same time. So,
unless not just the one, right?
Yeah. Right, of course. So you might have 10 people and then 10,000 robots. So you have, you know, these 10 people managing a huge fleet of these productive devices. So you get a really large amount of leverage from those employees that are, you know, supervising the autonomy of these 10,000 systems.
Michael, what does the process look like, this injecting of human intelligence on demand? Are they sort of in a room, if you will? Give us a description.
Yeah, so it's something like a call center. You could imagine it this way. So,
and they needn't be on the same location, obviously.
They can be in the same location. They might be in different locations. I mean, using the internet as your sort of telepresence connection gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of where the people are and where the devices are. But the way it essentially works is when this robot fails, it creates an alert in our system. And then our operators can see the alert. They can see the urgency of the alert. They can see a bit of context of the failure. Then they open that up and then they look at what happened to the robot. They can see what it's been trying to do, the surroundings of the robot they can see. And then they can control it to get it around the scenario that, you know, caused that failure.
What sort of qualifications would somebody who needed to be in this job have?
So for the people we have right now, it's really like playing a video game.
I was just wondering,
most of the failures are
drone operators, or are they part of people who have come up with Cognicept as well? Or do they need to be hired by, say, the e-commerce platform that they're working for?
So we're flexible on that. Right now we have people in-house that solve the most common simple problems. So it's really, like I said, playing a video game for them. They just sort of see the robot, they see its environment, and then they can control it the same way you would control a remote control car or a video game
character. A first-person shooter, okay.
Exactly, right. And then there are a handful of problems that are quite rare but do happen, where it's a more technical situation where maybe a motor has failed or a sensor isn't functioning properly. In those cases, we have an escalation process. So the operator would say, okay, something's not functioning normally, and then they would pull in somebody with robotics experience, a technician or an engineer, to evaluate that problem so that they can give a bit more insight, see if maybe the operator of the robot needs to somehow engage with it in the real deployment, you know, in real life.
What's the response been so far, Michael, to Cognicept?
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, we were really lucky to get a customer just a few months after we incorporated. We got a customer called Savioke, which is a U.S.-based robotics manufacturer. And they operate robots in hotels, hospitals, logistics facilities. So we were really lucky in that sense to get such a good response from, you know, the customer base. It's been difficult, though, to explain the problem to some of the other entities that would be our customers, because this is not a very well-publicized problem. Nobody wants to talk about how they weren't able to land robotics technology in their application because
or that it's failing or their problems,
right.
Of course.
So that's never on the news, right? And so oftentimes people see these highlight reels on YouTube and it gives them the impression that this stuff just works. And it does often just work, but then there are problems that people don't really know much about, which that's a big challenge for us is to sort of describe these problems. Yeah.
Where are you heading to next, you reckon? Because I'm thinking it's quite heartening that your first customer or the person who had come on board was not from here.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, that's a great point. I think from the business side, you know, we're setting up an office in the United States because that's where a lot of the customers are for us. We want to be closer to those customers. It's going to be a lot easier for us to sell in
You didn't
that
do
market.
That on purpose, though. It just happened that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are offices out in Singapore for these multinationals. And so they'll have decision makers in this region. And we've been engaging with them. I think it'll be even easier for us to sell once we set up our office in that U.S. market. So that's on the sort of business side. On the technical side, we're building out technologies to use robotic arms. So there's an application called piece picking in e-commerce where it's essentially the job of the person to take something from a storage location and put it into a shipping container. And so that's right now all done by human labor. And the reason that is because these robotic systems are only about 80% reliable. So we're developing technologies now that will allow us to bridge that 20% gap as the technology matures.
Feels like an uphill task, though, to be telling people, you know what, your AI system's not really working, but here, I'm here to help. How are you going to get the word out, Michael?
Well, so radio shows are probably one way that's really good for us to get the message out. We've had some really good articles as well in the Association for Computing Machinery. We had a Tech in Asia article recently. So we're trying to engage with the press to sort of get the message out about these kinds of problems that I'd say right now very few people understand or know about.
Cognicept.systems is where you can find them. Cognicept.systems. Michael Sayre is founder there. Michael, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.